Thank you, Donna. It's good to have Donna back with us and answers to prayer in every aspect. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to have the opportunity to be alive and to be able to be together. And I can just simply say that God is good. And all the time, He really is good. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Our Father, as we come to You, we're grateful and thankful once again that You have allowed us to come together. And Lord, we know that as we have assembled together as Your children, we do so with many things on our hearts and on our minds. And Lord, it seems that society and the times just pull us in so many different directions. So today, for these few moments, I pray that as we have had this opportunity to walk into Your house and to be greeted by like-minded brothers and sisters, that we can rest in Your love and we can rest in Your comfort today, and that, Father, You're going to speak to our hearts. We know that that's something that You want to do. And, Lord, Your word doesn't return void. So today, as we have gathered, if we do so with the expectation of a blessing and the expectation of a word from You, then we know it will be there, and it will be applicable to us. It will be personal for each and every one of our lives. So, Father, today I pray that we would truly concentrate upon You for these few moments. Lord, we know there are many other things, but they won't take place during these few moments because we have given these moments to You. So, Lord, speak to our hearts, and we pray that You would help us to hear what the Spirit has to say to us today, and that, Lord, we would make adjustments where adjustments are needed. We would receive encouragement where encouragement is due, and that, Lord, we would just rest in Your love and with our brothers and sisters today as we take this moment to gather together and to worship You. So, Lord, bless the time that we will spend together today in every aspect. Help us to look for You. Lord, in just a moment, we're going to lift our voices to You in praise. And I pray that we would really, truly concentrate upon the words that will be coming out of our mouths, that rather than just coming from our mouths, they would come from our heart. So, Father, right now, help us in every aspect of what we do to magnify You as You show up in this place, because we're gathered together to hear from You. Lord, this is Your time. This is Your place. We gather with expectation, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy. Please stand as we sing.
Song.
Thank you, choir. Please turn to 22, Bless His Holy Name.
Oh,
something dawned on me just a second ago that we didn't actually greet each other this morning. Have you ever gotten to that point where you just get so excited you forget things? And I don't know, I'm just excited to be here with you guys today, and I'm glad that after 32 years, I still feel that way, like a kid in a candy shop. So, with that being said, hey, look around, give somebody a wave and a wink and a smile that says, I am just so tickled to death to see you today. And then once again, if you're part of our online audience, we have our very own Dr. Cazito, who is there following along, listening for you, and then also there for you to reach out to if you have any questions about anything, or if you just want to say, hey, look, I want my voice to be heard today. Be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. Cazito. He would love to have that opportunity to interact with you today, and that is your liaison between us and you, since you're not able to be with us today, but we're grateful and glad that you're here. Today, we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Now, most of us have heard this story before about a gentleman by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, there are some things I want us to be able to pick up and to glean from this passage today, particularly in regard to where we are. There are times that when things are going on and things are happening in and around our lives that we feel like we're on this island all to ourselves, and we're not. You know, it feels that way. Have you ever felt that way, that you're going through a circumstance, you're going through a situation, and you feel like there's nobody else around you that understands, and you are looking for some kind of hope, some kind of deliverance through the situation? Well, that's exactly where Bartimaeus was. We're going to go ahead and take a look at our scripture from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading at verse 35. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning with verse 35. It says, then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're thankful for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that as we come into your house today, that we have truly been able to push aside the things that press in on us, that are activities and things that we need to do today. But for these next few moments, Lord, may we give our heart and our 100% attention to you, because you've got a word for us, each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that before we leave this place, we will have received that word and that we have an opportunity to act upon what it is that you're showing us in our own lives individually. So, Lord, for these moments, I pray that you would use me as your messenger, that you and you alone would truly be high and lifted up as you draw all men unto you. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at Bartimaeus, we see his condition. We see his situation. Now, I want you to think about what it must have been like to have been Bartimaeus in that situation, in that day, in that age, and in that time. Bartimaeus was blind. They didn't have necessarily the government social programs to be able to help out. He didn't have social security disability. There was only one way that he could really make ends meet, and that was that he was a beggar. So what he had to do, it wasn't that he necessarily wanted to. I mean, I've talked to many, many people before that have been in circumstances and situations such as this, and it's not something that they wanted to do, but yet it was something they felt like they had to do to be able to survive. So yeah, the road to Jericho was a well-traveled road, and it was ideal for beggars. It was ideal for Bartimaeus to be out that way simply because there was a lot of traffic that would come by. He would have an opportunity for people to present to him alms. Now, I want you to understand that this was just another day for Bartimaeus, a day when he probably got up and said, well, here we go again. Another day of saying, well, I guess I'm going to try to go out there and see what I can come up with to try to be able to purchase enough food or beg enough money to purchase enough food to be able to survive and to be able to last for yet another day. Now, folks, I want you to hear me on something. Jesus shows up in your life when you least expect it. Amen? He knows exactly what's taking place. He knows what's going on. And what appears to be an everyday circumstance to you and I can become an extraordinary circumstance when Jesus shows up in the middle of our circumstances and in the middle of our situations. So what do we see about Bartimaeus? He was this blind beggar who was sitting out by the roadside. And he was in a state of poverty and a state of hopelessness. When you think about it, it wasn't like there were hospitals that he could go and have a retina or a cornea transplant. It was just for those that were in that circumstance and situation, it seemed like that was what it was going to be for life. If there was ever a time that seemed dire, this was it. If there was ever a circumstance that it didn't seem like there was any hope for the future, this was it. Now, you and I have probably been in circumstances like that before where we felt like there was no hope. There was nothing that could be done. There was nothing that could change the course or the trajectory that you were on, and you had pretty much resolved yourself to have to deal with it. Now, some resolved themselves to deal with it differently than others. Some were able to realize, this is where I am. Some were able to say, I know that God's hand is upon me, and I'm going to look for the blessing, and I'm going to look for the lessons and the circumstances that God can give me in this. And then there are others who simply get bitter. You have been around people, and you have probably seen each of those types of people in your life. The situation is going to either make you, and you've heard it before, bitter or better. One of those two. So Bartimaeus has been at this same old thing. I'm sure that he didn't get up every day with joy and try to get himself dressed and try to get out there and find him a spot on the road. It was one of those situations where his hopes and his dreams were gone. The things that he wanted to do, there were so many things that he couldn't do. And he was in this state of poverty as well as helplessness. And Bartimaeus was unable to see to be able to provide for himself. So Bartimaeus represents each and every one of us and our state of sin and brokenness when you think about it. You know, I always got to make sure that I clarify something here. You know, there are people, and there's a classification of people in our society today, and it was more so in the days gone by in the religious circles, but people that were qualified are called seekers. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound like a bad term. You know, if somebody's seeking the Lord, that's a great thing. But here's something I want you to know and understand. You can't seek God in regard to your sinfulness. In and of ourselves, we're not even capable of seeking Him. He seeks you. Isn't that a cool thought to realize that in the midst of our sin and in the midst of our darkness, we don't go out seeking God. God seeks us. He's the one. You've seen all the paintings in the stained glass windows where it shows Jesus standing at the door and knocking, right? Well, let me ask you this. Do you just go arbitrarily to the door to see if somebody's there? What is it that makes you go to the door of your house? Nobody knows that? I ain't gonna come visit you then, what? When there's a knock at the door or the doorbell rings, something to gander your attention that brings you over to the door to see who it is. Now, again, we live in a different day and age. When I say we live in a different day and age, most of us, you'll have a security system where it'll whistle at you or it'll let you know on your cell phone that somebody's in the driveway or somebody's at the door because you got a ring doorbell. But the bottom line is something is notifying you that somebody is there. Now, folks, I want to tell you that in the midst of our sin and in the midst of our darkness, the thing that notifies us is the Holy Spirit. The thing that notifies us is the knock at the door. So because in and of ourselves, we're not even capable of hearing the doorbell. And the Holy Spirit has to convict your heart. You don't just go out and arbitrarily seek Jesus. He is seeking you. And by the way, He is seeking everyone Did you hear that? Say that with me. Everyone. Not just some, everyone. He would that none should perish, period. He doesn't want to see anybody die and go to hell. His son went to Calvary's cross for you, not just a select few. You know, we've said this many times at Central Baptist Church, the ground around the cross is all level. There's no social or economic or racial barriers around the cross, just as it should be. And yet Bartimaeus finds himself in need. He represents each and every one of us in our sinful and broken state. Sin had left us blind. Sin has left us helpless and unable to see the truth that's in our lives or that's provided for us. But we're in desperate need of a Savior. That's the only thing that can transform us. I could jump up and down. I could beg. I could be as desperate as I could. I could tell you today, and that's what I'm telling you today, Jesus saves and Jesus can turn your life around. And for all those who will ignore that message, one day will come when you will stand before the Savior and you will wish that you had trusted Him. You will wish that you had put your life in Him. Listen, I don't want to see anybody that I have ever met or ever known face judgment in hell. And that's the reason for the urgency of the gospel message. I don't understand why it is that churches don't use the platform that they have to preach Jesus crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again, because that is the only message that we have. That is the only thing that saves. That is the only thing that makes the blind to see. Plain and simple, it is the gospel message. But there's a change in that. You and I can see a change. How do we do that? We admit our condition of sin, and we admit our condition of brokenness. We recognize our need for a Savior. It's so ironic that in our society today, nobody seems to need anybody for anything. You know, we always got that you know, I've said it before, we don't need anybody and we never make mistakes in society. Now, you know what I'm saying when I say that, particularly if you've ever had to supervise people. Have you ever noticed it's never their fault? You ever notice that? They don't make mistakes. It's always somebody else's fault that the mistake was made. You know, it's kind of refreshing when somebody goes, "Oh, look, that was my bad. I take that on myself. That was me." That will surprise your supervisor. If you want to shock your supervisor, own your mistake, and you'll leave them speechless. Because they'll be like, what? Because they're not used to hearing that. Listen, we need to own the fact that we're sinners. We need to confess that before the Father. And yet what we see in our situation with Bartimaeus as we begin to get into it was what it was that made the change. What it was that changed his life. Now let's go back to our scripture, Luke chapter 18, verse 35. It says, "And it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain," now this is Jesus coming near Jericho, "that a certain blind man sat by the roadside begging." Bartimaeus has already gotten up. He's already gotten himself ready for the day, whatever that looked like. He had carried himself, or somebody had taken him to this particular spot to beg. And today was a day pretty much like the day before that, the day before that, the day before that. It was just one of those routine sort of things. But something changed. In verse 36, it says, "And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant." Now, can you imagine being sitting there by the roadside and you're blind and you're used to kind of what, you know, what takes place? You're used to the noises. I guess if you were saying in today's society, you would be used to hearing cars pass by. Bartimaeus was probably used to hearing people, maybe that if they were traveling on foot with a companion, that they might be talking or whatever. So he had the sense of hearing that he knew that there would be things going on. But he heard more of a ruckus that day. It was something that gandered his attention. Now, you picking me up here spiritually? There are things that are going to gander your attention spiritually as the Lord speaks to you. And today could be that particular day. But it says in verse 36, "And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant." He probably flagged somebody down. He was probably saying, "Hey, look, what's going on?" Bartimaeus, and I'm just going to say this outright, he was a normal human being. He was nosy by nature. But so are you. You know what? When you hear something going on that's kicking up a ruckus or being stirred up, what do? Something in the neighborhood going on? You want to know what's going on. You want to know why the crowd's got. You want to know where those sirens are going. What is going? What's taking place? Where's the fire truck going? Where's the ambulance going? And if it's in your neighborhood, you begin to wonder what happened to Aunt Harriet. Why is the ambulance at her house? You know, and then you'll start asking other neighbors. Bartimaeus is beginning to seek what's going on. He knew something different was taking place. Now, let me make a point. When the Holy Spirit shows up in your life, it's not going to be business as usual. You know something different is going on in your life. Pay attention. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is having to say. So in verse 36, he's hearing this multitude. He begins to ask what's going on. And it says, so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Now, I believe with all of my heart that Bartimaeus had heard the stories of Jesus. He had heard what was taking place. He had heard about the healing power of the Messiah. You know, I don't necessarily think that he had attended worship services. I could be wrong about that. But he had heard the word of Jesus and what he was doing and what he represented was spreading by. And it said that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. I've said this so many times in our church. I want you to know that today, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's passing by. He is coming through Central Baptist Church. He is passing by. He's wanting to know if you're going to recognize him and notice him. He is speaking to your heart. He's going to want to know whether or not you are going to listen to what he has to say and wants to know if you were paying attention. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody that was not listening to you? If you're married, then you can say yes. You know, you were hearing, somebody might have been here, or they were sitting there going, and they didn't have a clue what you were saying. Folks, I pray that we didn't show up today and we're sitting there going, and not hearing a word that the Savior is having to say to us because he's speaking to our hearts. He is passing by and something is different. And when Bartimaeus heard this and when Bartimaeus saw this, he didn't even know where Jesus was. He just knew the crowd was near. And he did something that was pretty incredible. Verse 38 says, and he cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, there's another proof that he had heard the stories of Jesus because he qualified him as the Son of David. So he had heard of him and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then something really interesting happened. In verse 39, then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Now think about that for a minute. This fella is hollering for Jesus. Most people knew the state of Bartimaeus, particularly in that area. Most people, if you had any brains whatsoever, could have figured out that the reason Bartimaeus wanted to see Jesus was so that he could be healed. And yet, all the wonderful, well-to-do people said, shh, 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 you need to be quiet. You need to quit yelling. You need to quit being a distraction. You need to quit being a disruption. Knock it off. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. We'll be by here. We'll be passing by in just a minute. Jesus will be gone, and you can go back to doing whatever it is you do. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that our attitude when somebody is seeking Jesus? You just sit up here and be quiet. You just sit down. Don't you cry out to the Father. You're being disruptive. You're upsetting the apple cart. You're rocking the boat. This is not what we're used to. I mean, what would happen if somebody walked in the door and started crying out for Jesus, besides freaking y'all out? How would that go? What would you think would be taking place and what was going on? And yet the well-to-do people said, you need to be quiet, Bartimaeus. See, part of the problem was they were missing the need of the man, even though they knew it. I have a feeling that this was Bartimaeus' spot to camp out. If you've been around the city of Greensboro, you have seen people that you have known that work a particular intersection over and over and over again. Your thought has been, I wonder what circumstance or situation got them to where they are. Sometimes your thoughts aren't exactly good thoughts. Sometimes your thoughts go in different directions. But let's just say it was genuine, and you see those people. Bartimaeus probably had a regular place, and there were probably people who knew him. And yet, there were the well-to-do people who said, you need to be quiet because you're going to upset Jesus. You're going to upset the Savior. You know, he's got places to go, things to do, and people to see. He's on his way to Jerusalem to save all of humankind. You need to let this go. Just be quiet. He's got bigger fish to fry. And yet he cried out in the latter part of verse 39, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then here's something interesting. It says, so Jesus, verse 40, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near him, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? But I want to carry you to another place for just a minute. I don't want you to turn there. But as you know, in the Gospels, there are a couple of the same stories that are told by different people from a different perspective. And I think this has some bearing on us. Don't turn to this particular passage, but Mark chapter 10 also has an accounting of the story of blind Bartimaeus. And it's interesting that when we get down to this point and Jesus calls him, notice what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 50. It says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, I find this to be a critical fact. And let me tell you why I find it to be a critical fact. See, it's not necessarily mentioned in the other gospel that he threw aside his garment. But let me tell you why I believe that's significant. Because that's all he had. That was everything the man owned, was the clothes on his back. And yet he threw that aside. Now, why do I think that that is significant? Because back over in our text, in Luke's gospel, just prior to getting to this particular place, Jesus has a conversation with the rich young ruler. Do y'all remember that? Remember what he said to the rich young ruler? You know, he said, the rich young ruler says, well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, you need to keep the commandments. And he said, I've done that. I got that down to a science, not a problem. I must be good to go. And then Jesus said, and go sell all your stuff and come and follow me. Then the rich young ruler said, I don't know about that. And by the way, the word goes on and tells us the reason why he had a problem with that was because he was very wealthy. He said, I can't do that. See, he couldn't sacrifice his all, but yet Bartimaeus threw away all that he had to go and get to Jesus. Does that make sense to you? What have you thrown away to get to Jesus? It's interesting that as we get on down in the scriptures, in verse 40 it says, after he's thrown his coat off and after he's run to Jesus, verse 40, so I love the part that Jesus stood still. I want to inject a point right there as well, because that's exactly what I titled today's message, was Jesus Stopped. You think Jesus was busy? You think Jesus had a lot of things to do? You think Jesus could have very simply said, look, man, I don't have time for this. I got bigger things I got to do. All of humankind, the salvation, is counting on me, and I got to get there. But let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus stopped for one. How is it that you win the world to Jesus? One at a time. How do you win your neighborhood to Jesus? One at a time. It's plain and simple. God didn't place Central Baptist Church at this location by accident. He's put us here for a purpose, and he has put us here for a reason. And that is to reach this community one at a time. And how do we do that? We don't do it necessarily within the four walls of this church. We do it from the outside of this church. But Jesus stopped. Jesus stood still. It's not the only time that he ever did that. If you recall, remember the story of Lazarus? Yeah, Lazarus was sick, and they sent for Jesus. And Jesus got waylaid along the way, didn't he? He was still meeting needs of people. And if you remember, what happened was, when Jesus finally arrived, matter of fact, before he arrived, they sent word to say Lazarus was dead. And Jesus shows up, and it's really interesting, and I want to find out one of these days when I get to heaven, with Mary and Martha, I want to say, you know what, you made a comment, and you said to Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. What was the attitude with which you said that? Were you bitter? Was it grief? Was it trust? What was it? You know what? I think there might have been a little bit of all those emotions wrapped into it. And the reason why was because Jesus said, don't you remember what I told you? And she said, well, yeah, but she pointed out the fact that she thought he was talking about a spiritual resurrection. And yet, in this particular instance, you don't think it moved Jesus? That is one of the two times listed in the Bible where Jesus wept. One of them was at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the other one was at Lazarus' grave. You don't think Jesus didn't feel something? You don't think that he wasn't hurting? Him and Lazarus were good friends. And yet, Jesus, knowing what would happen, stopped along the way to help others. I am sure that those disciples that traveled with him probably thought in their mind, well, Jesus, if you hadn't fooled with this guy over here and gotten to Lazarus sooner, then he wouldn't be dead. And yet Jesus showed them his power, didn't he? He said, time is not necessarily a factor. Remember when he said, roll the stone away when it came to Lazarus. And remember what one of the ladies said? He'd been gone about 4 days. It's going to be a little funky in there. It's going to stink a little bit because he's been in the grave. Jesus is, I can imagine Jesus, well, I don't want a commentary. I want you to roll the stone away. And they did. And remember what he said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. Yeah, I've said before, I feel sorry for Lazarus. That dude had to die twice. I mean, think about it. Yeah, he comes up out of the grave, probably prepared and wrapped up. He might have been hopping out. I don't know. But he came forth, and they saw the power of Jesus. Now, Jesus stopped along the way because others were important to him as well. Who are we stopping for? Who are we stopping our progress for? Our progress for? Because you realize that when you get on Jesus' side, what you believe to be progress might only be busyness, and busyness doesn't get you into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus stood still, verse 40, and he commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Kind of a strange question, don't you think? If Jesus knows everything, Jesus knows Bartimaeus is blind, and yet, what does he ask him? He says, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I want to see again. He could have asked for a lot of different things, but yet that was most important to him, because by receiving his sight, he would have an opportunity to again take care of himself, to again be productive, to maybe have a family, to not be out on the roadside every day once again begging to make a living. And Jesus had the power to heal the brokenness of the man. And what he did was he told him this. He said, receive your sight. But he went on to say this. Look at verse 42. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Boom, that's one thing to start with. And I believe with all my heart that when those words came out of Jesus' mouth, his sight was received immediately. 20/20 vision. Probably didn't even have to see the eye doctor. His vision was better than mine, probably most of y'all's. Probably didn't have to wear a pair of glasses. Don't even think they made them then. His vision was restored. But then Jesus tells him why his vision was restored. Look at the last part of verse 42. Your faith has made you well. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing that Jesus could actually restore his sight. Folks, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is looking for people whose faith is head and shoulders above most other people. You know, when you pray, do you believe that God will answer your prayers? When you go to him and say, Lord, I am coming to you on behalf of a brother or sister, if you're praying intercessory, do you believe God's going to do it? Or are you just saying, I'm doing this so I can tell them that I prayed for them? Or do you believe that God can? When, by the way, God works best on the things that are the most impossible. You know, when somebody got that cancer diagnosis, I have watched God heal people from late stage cancer completely. I've watched it. I've seen it with my eyes. They're walking, talking testimony. I have watched God take tumors away from people. I know he can do it. I'm not telling you I believe he can do it. I'm telling you I know he can do it. And when we pray, as such we've been requested to do, for our neighbor in Awakened Church with Tyler and Bonnie, the circumstance with the formulation of this yet unborn baby, I believe God can fix it. And when I go to God, I'm asking God, fix this situation. And do I expect God to do it? You bet I do. Now I understand, I'm not pushing God around. But I believe with all my heart that God wants to hear from his children. How do I know that? Right here, this scripture we're dealing with today is proof positive, at least in one way. Jesus knew Bartimaeus was blind, didn't he? And yet, what did he ask Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do for you? I believe God wants to hear from his children. I believe God wants to hear the desires of the heart. You know, it's interesting that David told a story, and if I get it wrong, you can let me know. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? The bicycle. I believe it was either Melanie or Angie. David and Donna bought a bicycle for Christmas. And the interesting part was they already purchased it because they knew that that would be a great gift for Christmas for her. They knew that it would make her smile and light up. And they bought the bike. David said, now the thing I want to try to work on doing is getting her to ask for a bicycle for Christmas. Did I say that right? Why? See, the Lord's already bought the bicycle. But he wants you to ask for it. Think about it for a minute. Listen, as parents, you know those circumstances. There are many, many times you already know in the lives of your children what's needed. But boy, you sure would like to hear them ask for it, don't you? That's not being cruel. That's not being unusual. That's not being proud. That's not trying to control them. That's wanting to have a relationship with them. In verse 42, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith, your belief, your expectation, the fact that you came to me. And I've also pictured this as well. Remember, Bartimaeus is hollering for Jesus. People are trying to get him quiet. And finally, Jesus stops. He tells him to come over there. Bartimaeus is probably crashing through people because he can't see. And he's heading toward Jesus because maybe the way they pointed him or whatever, he's probably bumping into people and everything else. I mean, if you've ever observed somebody that's blind, they move very meticulously. I don't believe Bartimaeus was moving meticulously. I believe he was in high gear. Who's to say he didn't fall down or crash into a few people, but he was getting to Jesus no matter what. Are we as adamant about getting to Jesus as Bartimaeus was. And I believe that whether we are or not depends on how much we're suffering. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to seek Jesus when we're in the middle of suffering? But how much more difficult that seems to be when things are going good? But yet he told him. It wasn't that Jesus just said, I'm going to be kind to you. No, he said, your faith has made you well. You believed that I could do it, and therefore I did it. How is your faith when it comes down to your walk with the Lord? You see, too many times, you know, but this Bartimaeus, this situation was for him. But what about even when you're talking about other people, when you're going to the Lord on others' behalf? Immediately, verse 43, immediately, not later, immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, here's a final point I want to make to you today. If you look at this passage in the other Gospels, Jesus didn't tell Bartimaeus what to do other than just go your way. Many times throughout the Word of God, when Jesus did something for somebody, he would say something like, go and sin no more. Jesus didn't say to Bartimaeus, you got to come with me, but what did Bartimaeus do? He followed him. I don't even think he went back for his coat. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you should want to follow him. You should want to draw close to him. You should desire to be where he is. Not just to simply say, thank you, Lord. Peace out. I'm gone. I'm out. Appreciate what you did for me. No, no, no. He wants you to follow him on the greatest adventure of your life. For 32 years, and it doesn't seem like 32 years, in ministry has been the greatest adventures of my life. God's let me ride the roller coaster of life every day. Been scary at times. Been woozy at times. I've been on the mountaintops, and I've been in the valleys below, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in this world. Because I have seen God do incredible things. I have seen God save those that people had written off. I have seen God take those through the waters of belief and baptism that you never ever thought you'd see when people are going. I've seen God heal those nigh unto death. And we serve the same God today as they served back then. And I believe he still wants to do some incredible things in and through his people if we will only let him. You see, Bartimaeus' transformation is a reminder of how Jesus can transform our lives. We're all in a state of sin, in a state of brokenness, but Jesus had the power to heal and restore us. He had it for Bartimaeus. He has it today. But we must have faith, and we must cry out to Jesus for mercy and for transformation. When we experience that transformation, we must follow and glorify God and share our testimony with other people. I can't wait to follow him. What did Bartimaeus have to lose? That's what a lot of people, I've actually talked with some fellas before, and they said, well, why wouldn't Bartimaeus follow him? He didn't have nothing to lose. Well, neither do you. What do you have to lose by following Jesus? As we go from here today, we need to remember the transformation of Bartimaeus. And we need to be encouraged to cry out to Jesus for our own transformation. Not just in salvation, but in growth as we walk with him. May we share our testimonies of transformation with other people. See, that is why we're where we are. That's why we have the friends we have, because they need to hear our story. And you know what? Here's the interesting part. Nobody can tell your story but you. I can't tell your story. They don't need to hear my story. They need to hear your story. And only you can tell that story. So what is it today that you gleaned from God's Word? Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to prepare for our time of invitation. And I've said before, this is the Lord's invitation to you. I mentioned a moment ago, He's passing through. He is passing through the circumstances and situations of your life. Another one of those issues with the gospel that I think is really interesting and how you can get different vantage points. Remember most of us remember the story of where Peter walked on the water. Y'all remember that? Well, one of the Gospels, it says that when they looked out and they saw Jesus, one of them says Jesus intending to pass them by. Well, why would Jesus want to pass them by? Because he was waiting on somebody to notice him and call attention to him. You know, for some of us today that are suffering in the midst of circumstances and situations, Jesus is right there. All he's waiting for is for you to acknowledge him and invite him into your circumstance and invite him into your situation. It's not a ghost. It's Jesus. Jesus, come on over here. It's rough. The seas are bad. You don't seem to be having problem walking on the water. That's getting ready to kill us. How about coming over here? Bring a little of that peace and calm over here. And then you got Peter. Lord, if that's you, let me come to where you are. Forget these other guys. I'm coming out there where you are. It looks calmer. Jesus said, come on. And Peter did. Then he got to that point where he was going, hey, I shouldn't be able to do this. That's when he started to sink, remember? And Jesus said, almost, man, your faith was doing great all the way up to that point. Maybe you're here today and you're sinking in front of Jesus. Maybe your faith was doing great all the way up to that point. Let me tell you, reach out and grab the master just like Peter did, and he'll pick you up. And you will learn as you go forward. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted, you've never cried out to him for salvation. Folks, there's no other way that you're going to get to heaven other than Jesus. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many Bible studies you've attended or how many perfect attendance stars. I don't care about any of that, neither does Jesus. What he cares about is whether or not you have said, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross, and that is what's going to save me. That is what will get you to salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus, right now's your time. Whatever you're doing, just pause and say, Lord, today I realize I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to come into my life and to save me. Help me, Lord, to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And I will promise you that if you meant that from your heart, then he saved your soul. I promise that. But now, listen, if you were just checking a box to be able to go out of here and say, oh, okay, I did the thing. If it was just a thing, then you're walking out of here lost. That was just verbiage. Just like the difference between baptism is your public profession of faith when you go through the waters. Listen, if you hadn't trusted Jesus, you didn't get baptized, you got wet. Most of you probably take a bath every day. You see the difference? It's not about doing the thing. It's about following him. Now your life has changed. You've given it to him. Now you're saying, forget the past. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be the way you want me to be. I want to walk the way I should. I want to be an example in this world. And he will. That is the difference. Listen, if you trusted Jesus today, we want you to let us know. Why? So we can celebrate with you. Listen, ain't nobody, and I know people are like, oh, I'm going to have to go down there in the front of that church and have a bunch of people look at me. They don't have to look at you. You can keep facing this way. But that's your first step in saying to the whole world, Jesus is my Savior. As somebody said to me before, said, when I look out at them people when I get baptized, I'm just going to freak out. I said, don't look at them. I said, you come into baptism sideways, just be looking out the other way. Some of y'all have probably seen that before. But listen, when you celebrate and when you cheer, that breaks a lot of barriers. We're here to celebrate. If you're part of our online audience and you trusted Jesus, listen, we want to know. We want to help you. We want to help get you started on that journey to walking with and following Him. You left your coat. You've trusted Jesus. Now follow Him. Will you do that? Maybe you're here today and you sit back and said, I have just been a spectator. I was the one in the crowd telling Bartimaeus to shut his mouth because he was going to be disruptive. Has that been you? Well, there's forgiveness there. There's a new light, a new wall. You should be dragging people to Jesus. I love the story where the guys unthatched the roof to let down their neighbor. I mean, could you imagine us being in here today and we have a special guest speaker, Jesus. He's here. The place is packed. People all outside. Nobody can get in. And all of a sudden you hear, and there's a hole that comes into the roof. Y'all probably be a little distracted during preaching, wouldn't you? All of a sudden, sawdust starts getting in Mike and Kay's hair. Going, what's going on up there? And then this big hole comes up, and there's four guys going. And they let a stretcher down. It was the only way they could get to Jesus. Only way they could get their friend to Jesus. They weren't worried about the roof. You think they had to repair it? Yeah. Do you think it was costly? Yeah. You think the homeowner was happy that there was a hole in his roof? Probably not. But yet they did what it took to get their friend to Jesus. Spirituality is not a spectator sport. It's a participation sport. Are you involved? What are you doing for the sake of the kingdom? Every person has a place. What is yours? And all together, we can make beautiful, harmonious music for the Master when we serve Him. Maybe you just need to give some things over to Him and say, Lord, you know what? I've been the problem. Can't tell you how many times I've had to say that. Lord, let me tell you what, I found out the problem. It's me. Remember, we're in a day and age most people don't want to do that. Help me, Lord, not to be the problem. But Lord, help me to be the solution to the problem. What is it that He's called you to do? Listen, it's unique to you. It's individual. Nobody else knows it except you and God. But the question is, what will you do with it? Now is the time to do that. Brad's going to come lead us as we sing our invitation hymn number 275, I Surrender All. Can you truly say, I surrender it all to Him? Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn?
Sorry.
heads are bowed as you seek the Lord, then I'm simply just going to ask you right now to make sure that you can say, Lord, it is well with my soul as I leave this place today. No matter what He's put on your heart or mind, He has spoken to you today. What will you do with it? As you continue to do business with the Lord, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, it has been good to be in your house. It has been good to be in your presence. And Father, as we have just sang, I pray that it is the mantra of our heart that we have surrendered all to you. And Lord, we come to that time when we continue to worship you by returning to you the tithe and the offering. I just pray, Lord, that we will be found faithful in doing so, that, Lord, you might trust us with a little, and we've been proven to be faithful with the little, that you would provide for us the much. So not that, Lord, we want to do anything for our will or for our purpose or our glory, but that it might be all for yours. So bless this offering, bless the gift as well as the giver, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Celebrate this week that are having birthdays. Monday, Bill Gardner will be celebrating another turn around the sun. Tuesday, Monica Queen. I think she said she was going to be, you're going to be what, 20, 29, wasn't it? Yes, you're going to be 29 this coming Tuesday. As well as on Wednesday, we have two birthdays. Our own Lonnie Range will be celebrating a birthday, as well as Andy Avery. Yeah, give him a hand, man. Let's just celebrate our folks. That's a big deal when you reach another birthday. And then on Friday, Jimmy McDonald will celebrate another birthday. Be sure to hug these folks. Just let them know how much you love them, how much you care about them, how much you appreciate them. And just to let you know things that we've got going on for today and throughout the week. Today, my D-Life group will meet at 3:30, conference room next door, 4:45, choir practice right here. 5:30 will be Awana. And then just want to let everybody know, we will not be having the adult Bible study tonight. Pastor David has a funeral that he has to attend, he and Donna, so we will not be having adult Bible study here tonight, so be sure to make a note of that. Band rehearsal at 7 o'clock after you want to stay with 7? I know. Okay, 7 o'clock for band rehearsal. Even though we're not having the adult Bible study, band will still rehearse in here at 7 o'clock. Then on Monday evening, Steve Kelly's D-Life group meets here at the church Wednesday. Every Wednesday, 10 o'clock a.m., we always keep that out before you, men's breakfast fellowship at the Olympic. No agenda, just a time to grow in your relationships together. And then every other Tuesday, there's a Bible study at Roger and Don Ree's house. And this is the on week, isn't it? This is off week. Oh, okay, that's right. Well, okay, so this is going to be an off week as well. So everybody, a lot of folks have been having the flu, the crud, whatever you want to call it, that's going around. A lot of folks have come down with COVID again lately. So I think everybody's taking that time to heal out. So we're not going to have the Bible study at Roger and Don Ree's this week. We'll kind of keep you posted on the schedule. You can see David or Paul Johansson about that. Which David's going to be having to go to the funeral, and Paul is sick, so you can call him. That might be the better thing to do if you need some more information. There is a church work day on April the 20th, and as always, we remind folks there's a lot of stuff going on around here, so if you've got something or you're having a meeting or whatever, please let us know in the office so that we can reserve you a room, so that way you don't show up with somebody else there. And I also want to mention as well, we are gathering interest to see if folks would like to go. It's a church-wide event. We're looking to go to the Barn Dinner Theater on April the 19th. There is a sign-up sheet in the back if you are interested. We're just trying to see if there's enough interest of folks that may want to go. Barn Dinner Theater on April the 19th. They're actually going to be doing, or the production they'll be doing is Sing Hallelujah. And the price of that is $64 a person. Welcome to inflation. So that's what it is. So we wanted to try to give you information up front. We're trying to see if there would be enough interest for us to be able to go and do that. So if you're interested in that, you're not committing to anything, but there's a sign-up sheet back there that says, yes, I would be interested in going, and then we will pursue that further if there's other things that we need to do to make it happen, okay? Is there anything I've forgotten that you know? Yes. The women have breakfast this Wednesday. The women have breakfast this Wednesday. Y'all meet at Cagney's in Friendly, right? Is that Friendly? Friendly Avenue. Cagney's on Friendly Avenue. Y'all straighten me out. And that is at what time? 9 o'clock. Ladies, breakfast. Don't let the men outdo you. The ladies can show them how to do a breakfast and a fellowship as well. This coming Wednesday for the ladies, 9 o'clock at Cagney's. All right? That's not 9 p.m. That's 9 a.m. Okay? Anything else? All right. Pastor David, come up and let us know anything I may have potentially forgotten, and then see us off in a word of prayer.
Just a couple of follow-up things. We were only $863 short of reaching our $7,000 goal for Annie Armstrong. If you didn't get a chance to do that, I think we'll still take some this week. Also, homecoming is May the 19th. This is our 60th year. Please clear your calendar and plan on being here to celebrate homecoming with us. And then our July the 4th concert's gonna be on July the 7th this year, okay? It's on the Saturday, the 4th is on Thursday, I think, and we're going to do it on Saturday because many of our people will be at Camp Carefree cooking meals on the 4th. So try to be a part of that if you can. It's all free. We'd love for you to be here. I want to do a follow-up on the bicycle story. That story actually the originated years ago. Henry Blackaby wrote a book, Experiencing God, and that's the first time I had seen that. But this past week, my two daughters were together, and they were discussing what their favorite Christmas was. And my 59-year-old daughter said, my favorite Christmas was when I got that purple bicycle. And I thought, after all these years, she still remembers that. What a wonderful experience to be able to share that with your children. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house. God, you're such a gracious God, and we love you so much. And we thank you for your love for us. Father, we pray that you will bless us as we go from this place today. Help us to be a witness for you. Father, I pray for this family that we're going to share in a funeral with this afternoon, that you will bless and minister to that family. Lord, use us all for your honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.